say, sir," said Vimes, staring straight ahead. "People were building barricades, sergeant." "Sir?" "I know you heard me, man." "Well, it's to be expected, sir. It's happened before. People get jumpy. They hear rumours of mobs and out-of-control soldiers. They try to protect their street. It is a flagrant challenge to government authority. People can't take the law into their own hands." "Well, yes, but these things generally run their course. My gods, man, how did you manage to get promoted?" Vimes knew he should leave it at that. Rust was a fool, but at the moment he was a young fool, which is more easily excused. Maybe it was just possible, if caught early enough, that he could be upgraded to idiot. "Sometimes it pays to..." he began. "Last night, every watch house in the city was mobbed," said Rust, ignoring him. "Except this one. How do you account for that?" His moustache bristled. Not being attacked was definite proof of Vimes's lack of moral fibre. "It was just a case of, apparently, a man attempted an assault on you. Where is he now?"
"I don't know, sir. We bandaged him up and took him home."
"You let him go?"
"Yes, sir, he was..." But Rust was always a man to interrupt an answer with a demand for the answer he was in fact interrupting.
"Why?" "Sir, because at that time I thought it prudent to..." "Three watchmen were killed last night, did you know that? There were gangs roaming the streets. Well, martial law has been declared. Today we're going to show them a firm hand. Get your men together now."
Vimes saluted, turned about and walked slowly down the stairs. He wouldn't have run for a big clock. A firm hand, right. Gangs roaming the streets. Well, we sure as hell never did anything when they were criminal gangs. And when you've got madmen and idiots on either side and everything hangs in the balance, well, trouble is always easy to find when you have enough people looking for it. One of the hardest lessons of young Sam's life had been finding out that the people in charge weren't in charge. It had been finding out that governments were not, on the whole, staffed by people who had a grip, and that plans were what people made instead of thinking. Most of the watchmen were clustered around the stairs. Snouty was quite good at internal communications of the worrying kind.
"Tidy yourselves, lads," said Vimes. "Captain will be down in a few minutes. Apparently it's time for a show of strength."
"What strength?" said Billy Wiglet.
"Ah, Billy, what happens is, the vicious revolutionaries take one look at us and scuttle off back to their holes," said Vimes.
He was immediately sorry he'd said that. Billy hadn't learned irony.
"I mean, we just give the uniforms an airing," he translated.
"We'll get cheesed," said Fred Colon.
"Not if we stick together," said Sam.
"Right," said Vimes. "After all, we're heavily armed men going on patrol amongst civilians who are, by law, unarmed. If we're careful, we shouldn't get too badly hurt."
Another bad move. Dark sarcasm ought to be taught in schools, he thought. Besides, armed men could get into trouble if the unarmed civilians were angry enough, especially if there were cobblestones on the streets. He heard the distant clock strike three. Tonight, the streets would explode. According to the history books, it would be one shot that did it around sunset. One of the foot regiments would be assembled in Hen and Chicken's field awaiting orders, and there would be people watching them. Troops always drew an audience. Impressionable kids, the inevitable Ankh-Morpork floating street crowd, and of course the ladies whose affection was extremely negotiable. The crowd shouldn't have been there, people said afterwards. But where should they have been? The field was a popular spot. It was the only vaguely green space in that part of the city. People played games there, and of course there was always the progress of the corpse on the gibbet to inspect. Besides, there were troops, ordinary foot soldiers, people's sons and husbands, taking a bit of a rest and having a drink. Oh, that was right. Afterwards, it was said that the troops were drunk, and that they shouldn't have been there. Yep, that was the reason, Vimes reflected. No one should have been there. But they were, and when that captain got an arrow in his stomach and was groaning on the ground, some of the crossbowmen fired in the direction of the shot. That's what the history book said. They fired at the house windows where people had been watching. Perhaps the shot had come from one of them. Some arrows fell short, some did not, and there were people who fired back. And then, one after another, horrible things would happen. By then it was too late for them not to. The tension would unwind like a spring, scything through the city. There were plotters. There was no doubt about that. Some had been ordinary people who'd had enough. Some were young people with no money who'd objected to the fact that the world was run by old people who were rich. Some were in it to get girls. And some had been idiots as mad as swing, with a view of the world just as rigid and unreal, who were on the side of what they called the people. Vimes had spent his life on the streets and had met decent men and fools and people who'd steal a penny from a blind beggar and people who'd performed silent miracles or desperate crimes every day behind the grubby windows.